Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, June 18th.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. I have several announcements as we begin this morning. and some of them you'll be able to follow along on your bulletin inserts. Today we have a service at the Manor at 3 p.m. Anyone that wants to come and help with that is more than welcome to do so. Then working through, I'll call your attention again to the special congregational meeting on July 9th. There are three items for that congregational meeting: the elevator parking lot, the handrails, the new handrails, and discussion of a youth director position. And that's July 9th. All voting members are encouraged to attend that. On the back, I'll call your attention briefly to the upcoming events with the Sunday school. As you can see, today being Father's Day, then fathers are encouraged to come visit Sunday school. And next week, you'll see that the Sunday schoolers are going to have a chance to meet and learn about what goes on with the Altar Guild. And that's a chance for them to learn some things about how the church runs in some of our day-to-day life and how we get ready and larger things happening in the church. Additionally, other announcements for today. Bill's Sunday school class is meeting in the fellowship hall in the back of the hall, not in your normal classroom. And 2 weeks from today, there is a welcome brunch for my fiance Anne, who by this time next week will be my wife, but it's going to take us a few days to get back into town. And so that's on July 2nd, and everyone is welcome. Additionally, there are a few more announcements, and I think Linda's first.
Good morning. As I announced last Sunday, Vacation Bible School is quickly approaching, and we need some help with snacks. We still have a few slots open for Monday for Rice Krispie cookies. And on Tuesday, we need some homemade bread. And on Thursday, we need some homemade cookies. So if you are inclined to help us out with any of those things, we have a sign-up sheet out there under the trees again. And if you can't do any of that, a monetary donation is appreciated, because on Friday, we always treat the kids with a little cup of ice cream. Thank you.
And one more follow-up on Vacation Bible School. There are still sign-up sheets for Vacation Bible School. They're right inside the entry to the education building if you know anyone that still needs to get signed up for Vacation Bible School.
Thank you. Good morning. Hans took away some of my thunder. Actually, what it's all about is, as you know now, Hans is leaving Wednesday to go north to Canada to catch his new bride there. And on behalf of the congregation, I'd like to present to you, Hans, a monetary gift that will surely help you in your travels, perhaps.
Thank you.
And we wish you well. God bless you, and we'll see you when you get back. You are coming back.
I am coming back. Thank you.
You bet. Thank God you. Bless you, man.
If there are no other announcements, I would ask you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 535. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God, our Maker and Redeemer, you have made us a new company of priests to bear witness to the gospel. Enable us to be faithful to our calling, to make known your promises to all the world, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 19. At Sinai, God assured Israel, "You shall be my treasured possession," and commissioned them to serve as mediating priests for the nations. The people commit themselves completely to God's will. The reading. The Israelites had traveled from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 100, and we will read it in unison. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. The second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 5. We are no longer God's enemies, but have peace with God, because we were brought into a right relationship with God through Christ's death. A tested character has been forged for us, which empowers endurance in the midst of suffering and hope for final salvation. The reading. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. The children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've picked up a Bible and started reading in the New Testament, you would soon learn that the first four books in the Bible are very similar. They all tell that story of Jesus as his life here on this earth. Many of them have the same stories in there. They seem very close, and those first four are called the Gospels. They tell that story of Jesus Christ. They tell the story of his going to the cross and the resurrection. The first three are known as the Synoptic Gospels because they are very close together, and as they were written, they were probably using some of the same source material, because many of it is word for word in those first three. Even though they're so similar, each of the Gospels, though, has something different to it. Each one has a different theme, or they emphasize different things throughout their storytelling of that story of Jesus Christ. For Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, and one of the things in there is Mark is always saying immediately something happened. Mark is a no-nonsense Gospel that things need to take place. It is imminent and it is urgent to move things along. With Luke is known as the storyteller because Luke has many of the parables that we do not see in the other three Gospels. Some of those are maybe some of your favorites, like the prodigal son or the good Samaritan. Those are only found in Luke. And then John's gospel is completely different as far as the style that it was written and the way that it was written. Even some of the order of the stories are a little bit different from the other three. And then we have Matthew. Matthew is the gospel that we were reading out of this morning. And Matthew is known as the teaching gospel. Matthew emphasizes the teachings and the preachings and the ministry of Jesus as he goes through his countryside. It is in Matthew, then, that we find that Sermon on the Mount, the extended version of it, which covers three chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Here in our gospel lesson today, we see Matthew as in a more typical fashion, that Matthew is talking about Jesus' teaching. He's in our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives instructions. And the occasion for the instructions is because of all the need of the people. As it opens up in our gospel reading today, let me reread that to you for a second here. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. As Jesus was going from town to town teaching, as his fame started to spread, he would be mobbed with people looking for help, with people coming up to him and saying, can you heal my arm? I broke it and it is not healing up in a proper way. Or he would cure the lepers. He would give sight to the blind. Every place he went, it seems like there was always people crying for help. The need was great. And not only for curing their illnesses, but also so that they could hear that word. They were hungering for that word of God. They were hungering for what Jesus had to tell for them. When I first started ministry, when I first came to my first call, one of the things that stood out for me is the need that people have, the troubles and the issues that people are going through. I guess I grew up somewhat in a sheltered family. I had a good mother, had a good father, had a house to live in, had all the food that we needed, had good friends. And then when I got out into the ministry, I saw other families that were not so fortunate, that were dysfunctional. Some people were caught up in addictions with alcohol or drugs or tobacco or with the internet now with a whole new slew of different types of addictions that they may have. Families were dysfunctional. People got sick, illness, diseases. Cancer is real, and it will take family members from you. Or, at the worst, it will disrupt your life in a way that is not good. There's abuse. People do lose their jobs. There's financial issues. There's things that just simply go wrong. There are tragedies that happen to people. The need is great. The need is great. And Jesus came across this as he went from town to town and saw how the people were hurting, and he had compassion for them. And he did what he could do as one man. He would cure their illnesses. He would cast out the demons. He would teach them. He would preach to them. He would bring them the good news and good word of God. But he was only one person, and it would have been easy just to see Jesus overwhelmed, like a huge wave just coming over him, that it's too much for him, too much for one person. And Jesus simply could have given up. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus had compassion. God had to get his message out. And so Jesus found the solution. And he says here in the gospel lesson, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the fields. And that's what Jesus did. And so that's what much of our lesson today is that Jesus sends out his disciples. He gives them instructions of where to go and what to do and the things that are important for them to do and the things that they are to leave behind are the things that are not so important for ministry. And he sends them out. What's interesting to me is he sends these disciples out. He does give them instructions. He does tell them things to do. What is important is that they do go out, that they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that they proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. But he sends them out, and he sends them out even if they're not ready. This is fairly early yet in Jesus' ministry. The disciples had been with Jesus for a while. They had been traveling with him. They had seen what he had done, how he cured illnesses, how he cast out demons. They had heard his teachings. They had heard some of his preachings. But still, yet, it was still early. They were still green. But Jesus sends them out anyway, even though they might not have been ready. The need was so great. Jesus had compassion. God loves his people, and he wanted to make sure that his people were taken care of and that they had heard that message, that good news. And so he sends them out. The disciples had no certificates. They did not have any degrees. They didn't have any diplomas, but God sent them out anyway. And I think that's news for us, because I think God sends each and every one of us out to do ministry. Sometimes we feel that we're not ready, that we don't have enough knowledge, we don't have enough skill, we don't have enough experience, but God uses us anyway. Even if we don't have the certifications, even if we don't have the certificates, even if you are not ordained, God sends you out anyway. Now, I don't think what Jesus is doing here is saying that we don't need ordained ministry in the church. Ordained ministry is a specialized ministry. It's a specialized call. And pastors are still necessary, I believe, so that teaching is done in the right way. So that preaching is sound, and so that the sacraments are also administered in the proper way. But the ordained ministry is a special ministry, and possibly you have heard God calling you into ordained ministry, and particularly our young people then too, that God has given them the gifts to be full-time church workers. And as parents, as grandparents, as fellow members with these young people, we need to stay attuned to that so that we can help encourage them and uplift them and help them develop those skills that might be needed for that. God does call us into these special ministries, but God calls each and every one of us into our own ministries as well. Even if you do not feel that you are prepared, the need is so great. People need care. They need to hear that word of God in a way that they can actually hear it. And you can do that. People need help when they are sick. People get lonely. Maybe they just need a friend. Maybe they just need someone to listen to them, to care for them, to show them that compassion. Maybe people just need to be prayed for. God calls each and every one of us into ministry. Jesus sent his disciples out because there was so great need. Today in our time as well, there is a great need. People do not know that word of Jesus Christ. They have not heard that good news. They have not felt that compassion. And so God sends us out as well. But this is not one of those things that says, thou shalt do ministry. Rather, it is an opportunity. It is a gift to do ministry. I think I do very much enjoy what I do simply because I get to meet people one-on-one. And people seem to be honest and open and have a need. to share what is troubling them. And maybe even sometimes I can help them in some way or another. And ministry is very satisfying to do. It is a good thing, and there's a great joy in doing ministry. And so ministry for everyone can be that same thing, that there is a great joy in going out and doing ministry. You know, Hans has been with us here now for 10 months, and he still has a couple of more months with us. And I think he's ready. He's chomping at the bit to get out there and go and do. And there is an excitement in that, to be able to do ministry, to teach or to just have compassion for people. God sends us out, and it is a gift to be able to do that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, number 257.
Please rise as we confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. God of comfort, be with those who are hurting and struggling, especially Daisy, Aiden, and Paul. We ask for you to be with all those who need to experience your grace and comfort, so that they may know of your love for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Nourish and sustain your creation, O Lord. We pray for rain and good weather, to care for the fruits of the earth, and to sustain all those whose livelihoods depend on the land. Lord, in your mercy. We ask for your blessing on the work and ministry of the North American Lutheran Church. Guide our Bishop John and all of our clergy as they seek to proclaim the gospel. Work in the hearts of all who hear that proclamation so that their faith may be stirred up. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for our service members and first responders. We pray for their safety as they go into harm's way, understanding that every day carries with it risks we do not fully know. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Send now your Holy Spirit, O Lord, coming to us in bread and wine so that we may receive the body and blood of your Son as we come to the table. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our offering.
Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might
give his body in the world,
making known your abundant mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, number 509. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.